blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 47, stanzas 6 and 7. Oh, let thy strength and presence cheer, for trouble and distress are near. Be thou not far away from me. I have no source of help but thee. 6 and 7 of Psalter 47.
This afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. Mark 14, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark chapter 14, beginning with the 26th verse. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword, and smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, how deeply we have fallen away from thee, that every manner of sin can be found in the midst of this world and can be found in the midst of our own hearts, and how low that thou hast brought thyself to stoop in order to pick up thy fallen people, because there is not one of us and that would be willing to go in that same way as thou wast so willing to go. And when thou didst say, Rise, and let us be going, for he that betrayeth me is at hand. And when thou didst go forward unto it, and thou didst not flee away from it. O Lord, we cannot stay awake for 1 hour, and we cannot watch for 1 hour. When it comes to our life, and then we will all forsake thee and flee. O thou knowest our hearts, Lord. O that thou may give to us that true conversion. O that our spirit may indeed be made willing, because by nature it is not so. And even when it becomes so, our flesh remains so weak. Oh, then we would not that a maid would laugh upon us and would mock with us. But thou wast so ready to hide not thy face from shame and spitting in thy face. O Lord, how is it possible that we have brought ourselves so low that such things would be capable of thy created beings, of humankind, of mankind, to betray the Son of Man, even with a kiss, and to mock with thee, to blindfold thee, and to mock with thy omniscience, O Lord. And then it is a wonder if thou wilt have mercy upon us. O look upon us in thy mercy. Thou hast paid an awful price. O give to us that true sorrow in our heart, a true turning away from all of our iniquities. O give to us that we may be ready, as thou dost say, to suffer all tribulation in the midst of this world. Thou didst go before thy people. O Lord, we cannot even follow thee in the least steps. O make us to be able to endure all spitting. Make us able to endure all mockery of men, and that we may walk humbly before thee, that we may walk in thy footsteps, that we may be made meek and lowly, and that we may be given that gift that thou didst purchase for thy church, and that is eternal life. O Lord, make us willing to follow, and give us strength to follow in the way that thou wilt lead, and keep us from ourselves, for we are our own worst enemy, and thou knowest all that lives within us. O give thy grace and thy spirit to each and every one of thy people, but may it be to each and every one of us. Thou didst go in the way of death, a death we have brought upon ourselves because of our own sin, and we lie in it by nature. But Lord, thou art the cause of the resurrection of thy church. Oh, may it be also in our midst, that we may experience among us that many are born out of that death, and that that seed that did fall into the ground and die may bring forth much fruit among us, and that there may be life. Oh, could it be all abroad? Remember us and all our loved ones, both far and near. And wilt thou bless us as a congregation? Lord, thou knowest how undeserving that we are. Oh, who can put his hand in his own bosom and take it out clean, but take reasons out of thyself, reasons which are so, so many, that thou wouldst yet look upon us and think upon us in our death state, but also in our wanderings, in our going astray continually. O Lord, that thou wouldst take reasons out of thyself and thy dear and only begotten Son, to have mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. Do look upon all the needy and all that need care for the mind and the body. Look on all that do care for others, for thou knowest the strength and the courage that is necessary also for them. Wilt thou supply in all the miseries that we have brought ourselves into, that we do not deserve thy supply for, and yet thou art a compassionate God, full of compassion, we read in thy holy word, and it is so evident in all thy dealings with us as mankind in the midst of this world, that thy blessings are still poured upon us. In all thy long suffering, O break thou our hard and stony hearts, and with a little knowledge of ourselves and a little knowledge of thee, that may send us weeping in our inner chambers. And wilt thou care for all thy servants, increase their number. Remember also those that rule and reign over us. Lord, bring us again to thy word and to thy testimonies, which we have departed so far from. Give thy grace and thy spirit to those who must make decisions, to those who do make judgments in the courts, and that thou may bring us again with weeping and with supplications as nations to thy holy footstool. Do supply for all those that are addicted to drugs, to other things, for Satan is so strong. Lord, thou knowest where that they are. Oh, that thou may be near unto them, and to bring back as thou alone art able to do, which is so felt so often by parents and siblings, that they are so helpless under the power of the devil who goes about to destroy. Oh, that thou may remember, O Lord, in thy mercy, and care for all the afflicted and all the poor, all the maimed, the blind, the lame, the handicapped, those that have difficulties of the mind, those that have diseases and difficulties and weaknesses of the body, those that receive treatments also from doctors and nurses. Thou knowest the place of each one. Bind all these things upon our hearts. Cause them to bring us in the right place before thee. Oh, give us profit, Lord, upon our short journey between the cradle and the grave. It is thy holy day. It is thy Sabbath day. We are called to put aside all the labors of our hands. And we do that with our hands. But Lord, thou knowest our minds. And they are and can be so taken up with all that we do in this world and all the many concerns that are in this world that is due to our own iniquity. But, O Lord, could it please thee to separate us now for a few moments in thy house of prayer, or that it may be a profitable hour for us, and when thy spirit may come to be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, or that we might feel in our hearts that same burning as was felt in the heart of thy disciples when they did walk unto the way of Emmaus, and when thou didst open unto them the scriptures, and when thou didst draw them unto thyself. Be among us, O Lord, to give new life from the dead and to revive life from the sleeping. And wilt thou help us to bring thy word with clarity to the mind, and that thou may bring it with power to the soul, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 92, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be, and thy mighty shield protect my life, and thy spear confront the enemy. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 92. beloved congregation, I think that there is nothing that troubles the heart of God's afflicted church so much as that their heart still retains so much sin. That is the cause so often of doubt concerning their state. And it is the cause so often of grief concerning their condition. It is a wonder that the Lord has recorded in His Word the life of His people. With all the iniquity that lives within them and that comes forth from them, for which Christ has gone before them unto the way of that cross. There is nothing but the blood of the Son of God which is able to pay the debt of such a people and to deliver them from all of their iniquity. And we see a little bit of that in that which we wish to consider in this afternoon in the fall of Peter. Our text you can find in the portion that was read to you, Mark 14, and there are verses 66 through 72. Mark 14, verses 66 to 72. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crowed twice, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. So far the words of our text, the fall of Peter. First, a prediction not believed. A prediction not believed. We find that in verses 30 and 31. And Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." But he spake the more vehemently, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." Likewise also said they all, a prediction not believed. Second, a warning not heeded. That is in verse 68, the last little phrase. 68, the last phrase, "and the cock crew," a warning not heeded. Third, a sign not mistaken, the last verse, "and the second time the cock crew." crew and what follows. Thus the fall of Peter, a prediction not believed. Second, a warning not heeded. And third, a sign not mistaken. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Thus a prediction not believed. And why did Peter not believe it? Did Peter not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And I think the smallest will say that it was because Peter loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you are right, children. That was what was in Peter's heart. Is that also in your heart? Because Peter loved the Lord. Do you also love the Lord? Do you love God? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, Peter, he felt that love. He felt that love very, very strongly in his heart. And that is a wonder, because that is not something that lives in an unregenerate heart. That love for the Lord and the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there are many, the Bible says, who do deceive themselves in this regard. But still, the true love for him cannot exist without the work of that Spirit of the Lord. Love, that is a mark of grace for God. A love for God, planted in regeneration, and a love for his Son that is worked by that Spirit of the Lord in the Lord's own time. And that is a love that is just like the love that is between two persons. That is not something that we can tell from the outside, but that lives in the heart of those two persons for one another. And that is the same also here. That is a love that lives in the Lord for his people. And it is a love that lives in the heart of his people for the Lord. And thus we cannot judge that of one another. The Lord can judge it of us. And we can make, hopefully, an honest judgment about that within our own heart. And yet, that love for the Lord and for the Lord Jesus Christ was made manifest. That is, it was made evident that other people could see and other people could hear something of the fruits of that love. And that is what the Lord Jesus says, that by their fruits ye shall know them. And we know that also even from the confession of Peter, that he says, even if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Where did that come from? You say that came from the bottom, the very bottom of that heart of Peter, that he says he is ready even to give his own life. Are we ready also to make as such a sacrifice as our own life? Love. In the heart of Peter was also faith. Faith. Because that was worked also by the Spirit, and Peter has testified that he says, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You say that too? That is a lot easier to say today in our circumstances than it was for Peter to say in his circumstances. And when there was so much contradiction swirling in that time around the Lord Jesus, and when the Sanhedrin was ready to throw out of the synagogue those that did confess him, and when he was in the state of his humiliation, so that his divinity was so hidden from the people, then it was not so easy to make such a heartfelt confession. There is love. There is faith. There is also zeal in the heart of Peter. There was much zeal. And we can hear that also in his confession, that he is ready to stop at nothing, even at his own death, that he is ready to give his own life. That is more in some. Peter was very forward in his zeal. That is more in some than it is in others. And yet it is not missing from any one of them, because we read, likewise said all his disciples. Thus those things the Lord is putting in his church in a certain measure, each one given their measure, that love, that faith, that zeal that we can find in the heart, in the life, and coming out also being manifest in Peter. Love, faith, zeal, and unbelief. Unbelief. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. In any wise, we say, unbelief. Unbelief of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is ready to directly contradict what the Lord Jesus is saying to him. O congregation, there is a great mixture that is living in the heart of that true church of God while they're here on the earth. There is love. There is faith. There is zeal. And then there is every kind of sin. Every kind of sin. Every hateful and unclean bird that is living in their heart. Is that your experience? Why could Peter not receive those words of the Lord Jesus? It is because of his ignorance. That is, ignorance of himself. That is especially what is living in the heart of the church in the beginning. That they are so unaware of all that filth and all that corruption that is still living in their heart. Peter is going to learn it. But he is going to learn it in a very, very difficult way. And that is partly because of his own natural character. But that is now different in everyone, although the heart, of course, of everyone is the same as Peter's. That ignorance and that unbelief caused Peter to enter into temptation, that is, willingly believing that he was stronger than the temptation, and that he was strong enough that he would be able to withstand what would come. What do you think of that, young people? Do you think that you are stronger than all of the temptations that are around about you? Satan is very strong. You believe that?
And Satan's temptations are also very strong. And we, you and I, are very weak. Do you believe that? What do we read of Peter? When the Lord Jesus is here being led away, he is being led into that high priest's house, and then we read, and Peter followed him afar off. Not too close. Not too close. You do that too? You do that too? Not too close, but still you go. Peter did not belong there. Peter was warned. He was warned about temptation. And Peter was also dismissed. And when the enemy came, and then the Lord Jesus said to the enemy, "If therefore ye seek me, then let these go their way." And thus Peter is warned and Peter is dismissed. But it is love, and it is faith, and it is zeal, and it is unbelief, and it is ignorance of himself that do cause Peter to follow afar off. And then what do we read? The purpose of Peter? It says, to see the end, Matthew writes, to see the end. There are so many riddles that are living in the heart of the church. So many riddles. There is so much confusion that is living in Peter's heart. He is going to see the end. Do you know what else is in his heart? Offense. Offense. He has been offended, as the Lord Jesus said he would be. When he took out his sword and he tried to fight for the Lord Jesus and to prevent him from going into death, that is all out of love and faith and zeal. And the Lord Jesus says, put that sword back into your sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And Peter is offended. And now he follows him. He does not understand. Does he love him? He does love him. But he is also offended. And now he says, what shall we do? Now I can only follow. And now I can only watch when he is going to the end, to see the end. And then to that high priest's house, he enters, his friend, another disciple that we read of the Lord Jesus. He is known unto the high priest. Gains him entrance into that palace. Our friends do not always do us favors, because Peter is walking here into a place of great temptation. And we can, for our friend, have such good intentions and kind intentions, but we are not always so wise. There are many enemies here. There are enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ and of Peter. It is the devil himself. It is the devil himself that is dwelling in this palace. And he is living in the heart of all of these enemies. The Lord Jesus is going there. The Lord Jesus went there. He went willingly there. And he is going to destroy there the head of that serpent. But Peter is not able to go with him to battle with that devil. The church is not able. Do you feel that? We see that in the second place, a warning not heeded. What do we read? And the cock crew. The Lord Jesus had said to the disciples, and especially to Peter, he said that before the cock crowed twice, thus he speaks about two cock crowings, and it is Mark here that speaks, that writes about both of these crowings. And here we read about the first crowing of the cock, and the cock crew. When was that? And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." Now when the Sanhedrin tries the master, then the servants will try the disciple of the Lord. And that is the very least of the servants of the high priest, that is what we read, the maid of the high priest. In congregation, Peter cannot stand. Peter begins to experience this. There is suffering that threatens Peter. There is fear that grips in that heart of Peter. He cannot endure the least shame. He cannot endure the least suffering. And when he is in the midst of this trial, this temptation, and then the dirt comes out. That is what is living within his heart. And congregation, that is so often the case, that when the Lord, as it were, brings in the fire, and when that heat begins to rise, it is in those circumstances that we begin truly to find out what is living in our heart. And then it is for Peter that he will not go through that least suffering for the sake of Christ. It is the service of myself, and it is for the protection of myself, and that is at all costs, no matter what Peter has to do or say, love, faith, zeal. Is it true in Peter? It is. It is the Lord's dear disciple Peter. It is all living in his heart, and it all comes from the Lord. But cannot go by itself through that fire. It is too weak. I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. Oh, what a turmoil that is living in the heart of the disciple of the Lord. There is good in there, and there is evil in there. God is in his heart. Christ is in his heart. And he himself is in his heart. And the devil is in his heart. Or there is truth in his heart, and the lie is in his heart. Two nations, they are in one womb, and they are struggling for that preeminence. I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch. Thus he moves away a little bit. He goes out toward the exit. There is still a covering, but it's not completely within that enclosed closure of the palace that is semi-aired to the outside, the porch, nearer to the door. Why does he do that? The Lord observes that. Heaven sees that. When it looks down upon this earth, and the Lord records that, every movement of his own child. Why does Peter move and go stand in another place? Peter feels something. There is something going on in the heart of Peter. There is guilt. Peter knows that he has done very, very wrong. Peter did not want to do that wrong. Peter feels something of that warfare that is this moment going on within him. Peter's conscience is speaking. It is speaking very, very loudly. There is, congregation, a mighty struggle that is going on in that heart of Peter. And he went out into the porch. He moves a little bit away. He goes where it is a little bit safer for him, and where he is not standing quite in the midst of that people. And then what do we read? He goes out into that porch, and he is standing there. It's a little more open there. And then we read, and the cock crew. Does Peter hear that? Say they all heard it. You have a rooster at home, boys and girls, on the farm. You hear that too? You say we all hear it. And yet, you don't always hear it, do you? You hear it and you do not hear it. You hear it and you do not notice it. Someone says the cock crew. You say, oh, did that cock crow? I did not hear it, but you did hear it. Did Peter hear it? Oh, yes, Peter heard it. But congregation, Peter did not hear it. When he is standing out there in that porch, and what was that to him? That was a warning. That was a warning for him. It was calling him. What was that rooster saying? That cock crowing was saying, Peter, go out. Peter, you do not belong here. Peter, you cannot stand here. Peter, this is a place of great temptation. Peter, you have begun to fall already. And thus, Peter, this is a place that for you is not safe. And the cock crew. Congregation, such a cock crowing is a great blessing. It is a great blessing for us when the Lord is coming with a warning. With a warning. When we are standing there, young people, not only young people, no, every one of us, we have all the same heart. If we're 100 years old, young people, we have the same heart as you do. It is a wicked heart. It is an evil heart. And when we are standing there in that place of temptation, and the Lord is giving to us a warning, and the Lord is giving to us a speaking conscience in that moment, and then there is even something that is added, this or that, here it is, that cock crowing. Oh, the world, they are left without the warnings. And the Lord leaves them to go their own way. Oh, what a responsibility, what an accountability that we have with the warnings that the Lord is giving unto us. Peter hears it. And the cock crew. But he does not yet call to mind the word that the Lord Jesus had spoken. Not yet. We read that later. Peter is here, congregation, like a deaf man. Because Peter has a will. A will. And that will is not yet broken. And that is still going in Peter's way. And until that will is broken, oh, that mind, that ear does not hear, and that heart does not receive. Peter remains there. Peter remains standing in that same place where he was, in the porch. Very, very close by. And that warning goes by unheeded. Unheeded. Do you know that? You know that place? Who here, along with me, does not know that place? Which one of us, young or old? Very, very dangerous place, isn't it? Very dangerous place. It's a place we're playing with fire. That is not the fire on this earth. It's a place that we're playing with an eternal fire. With an eternal fire, if the Lord does not prevent, let us sing Psalter 80, 2 and 3. Bow down thy ear to my request, and swift deliverance send. Be thou to me a rock of strength, a fortress to defend. 2 and 3 of Psalter 80. the fall of Peter, a prediction not believed, a warning not heeded, and our last thought, a sign not mistaken. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." Temptation congregation did not disappear. No, why should Peter think that temptation would disappear when he remained in that place where he was? He is in the same place. He is with the same enemies. And he has the same heart. And then he fell again into that same sin. And he denied it again. That is what we can expect because of our own foolishness. When the warnings that the Lord is giving are not heeded by us, it is ever more difficult, congregation, once we have begun to go down that path, the path of lying, the path of deceit, then it is ever more difficult to come away from that path. And he denied it again. And then what do we read? Then it is not the same as the first time that he denied it. It is not the same. Because we do not read here that Peter moves. The first time Peter moved, and he went and stood a little further away. But this time, he does not reposition himself. The fall into sin is mostly congregation by degrees. The fears get a little bit less. The conscience does not typically speak quite as loudly, and then we remain standing in that same place. But there is now something else. There is something else to take notice of here, because there is something missing now from that first time. You know what that is, children? What is missing now? What does not happen now that happened the first time? Now there is silence. There is silence. There is no cock crowing this second time. There is no more warning. Will you think about that? Will you consider that? Peter gets one warning, and that is all. There comes a time when those warnings are not heeded, that the Lord is taking those warnings away. You believe that? Then the warnings are taken away. Warnings, congregation, are a great help to us. When we do go astray, when we do not walk in the right way, does the Lord still give them? Do you still hear them? Do you take heed to them? And when we do not, then we cannot expect that they are going to continue. Peter needs to be left here now. No, he will not be left altogether. This is a child of the Lord. But he needs to be left now by the Lord just for a moment. Just for a moment. And oh, congregation, if the Lord leaves us for one moment, oh, do you believe that our heart is so full of every wickedness that is in this world? One moment, and then we will fall. We stand, congregation, in such a privileged place. Under all the warnings, under all the callings that the Lord brings to us in our lives, that the greatest part of this world is missing and that never receive. What do they do for us? All the admonitions of the Lord concerning sin, concerning temptation, do we watch the movements of our own heart? We read of the King of Israel that he sent unto that place that the Lord had warned him of through his prophet, and that he saved himself there not once or twice. Not once or twice. What happens if the cock doesn't crow anymore? That first time when it is silent and the Lord ceases his admonitions. Do you desire that? Do you desire that? Oh, let us think about that. The next time that we are standing there with Peter in that porch. Oh, that that next step may not be taken by us, and that we would fall even into perdition. And he denied it again. Then there is silence. Just silence. Nothing is heard. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And now it is done. And now it is done. It's according to the word that the Lord Jesus has spoken. It is according to the nature of sin. It is according to the nature of temptation. And it is according to the weakness that is in the heart of every single one of God's true people. It is done. And the second time, the cock crew. And now congregation Peter hears it. Now he hears it. And now it goes into his heart. It goes into his heart just like an arrow goes into a man's heart. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him. Oh, suddenly the mind of Peter clears. Clears. Suddenly he recalls that word that Jesus had said to him is now resounding over and over in his ears. Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. He had not believed it. He did not believe he was capable of doing such a thing. Now it is reality. It is done. And he cannot undo it. And he cannot undo it. You know what that is? You know what that is? And when he thought thereon, he wept. Matthew and Luke, they say he went out and wept bitterly. He went out. No, he could not remain in this place of temptation anymore. Not even in the porch. But he went out. Peter cannot get out fast enough now. Now Peter is fleeing. He is fleeing this place. Who remains? Who remains? Christ. Christ. You say he had to remain. He was a captive. Oh, no, he was not. Oh, no. Because he has gone so willingly. He went with all his heart to do the will of his Father. And Satan is strong. And he knew that Satan was stronger than Peter. And he knows that Satan is stronger than every single one of his people. He knows it. And that is why he stayed there. Because he is going to battle him. He's going to fight with him. The prince of darkness. In a battle that his church could only lose. But he, the almighty Son of God, has come down to take away his power and to bruise his head. And for this he is willing, not as Peter, he is willing to be spit in the face, spit in the face. And he is willing to be mocked. And he is willing even to suffer that the holy attributes of God in him would be mocked, that omniscience, blindfolded, buffeted, who is he that smote thee? We cannot fathom the depth of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. Peter cannot go with him. Whither I go, ye cannot follow me now. Ye cannot follow me now. I go for you, Peter. I go for you. To do what you cannot do. And to pay all that you do amiss. But you shall follow me afterwards. What is Peter's work now? Oh, he went out and he wept. He wept. He wept bitterly, we read, while Christ goes forward to pay the debt for Peter. That is, congregation, all the church can do. All the church can do. David was also in the temptation, and he could not endure it. He could not endure it. And then the Lord came, and after his fall, then he wept. Then he wept also bitterly. And then what did he say? Oh, he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept over what? He wept over his own ignorance. He wept over his own unbelief. How is it possible that he did not believe the word and that the Lord Jesus had spoken, and that I actually thought that he knew better than the Lord? Or he wept over what? Over what he has learned that his heart was capable of doing. He did not think so. He really did not think so. Or he thought the love in his heart and that faith and that zeal, oh, that will keep him. But Peter had to learn it. And the church has to learn it step by step. Or with every fall, they have to learn by experience to weep over all that remains in their heart. Oh, he wept that he had sinned against the Lord Jesus himself, whom he loved. Whom he loved. Whom he loved before, whom he loved afterwards, and whom he loved as he denied him. And that he had denied him before men, all to make a mockery, as it were, before all those enemies of the Lord. He wept. When he thought thereon, he wept. Or he wept over that offense that he had felt in his heart against Christ. Against Christ. That he was giving himself so willingly in that way of suffering. Or he wept. No, Christ was no offender now. Peter is now the offender. And Peter weeps concerning it. Oh, congregation, it is the fall of Peter. It is set for us in the Word of God. It is set for us for two reasons. For two reasons. In the first place, it is set there for us as a warning. A warning in the Word of God. It is a warning against what? It is a warning against unbelief. Against unbelief. What did Peter not believe? Peter did not believe how weak that he was. How weak that he was. Now we have here a warning against this. Peter thought more highly of himself and his own strength than he ought to think. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says that we have become weak through the flesh. Weak through the flesh. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? The church of God is not able to stand in the trial. Do you know what they need? They need a Savior. Do you need a Savior? Do you need a Savior? Oh, Peter needed a Savior. When he went out and he wept bitterly. What a warning. Oh, it is a warning, congregation, that we flee temptation. That we flee temptation. That we are listening for the crowing of the cock. For the crowing of the cock. And when we are standing there in that temptation, oh, young people, it is a world today. Satan, he is loosed more and more. The temptations, they only increase. The temptations, they only come closer and closer unto you. Will you recognize when you are standing there in that temptation? And when there is still a conscience that is speaking, when there's still a word that is coming unto you from the Word of God that says, flee, flee, flee. Oh, it is a warning. But congregation, it is also an encouragement. And why? Because Peter, with all that he has done, and remember that he has sinned against better knowledge, against better knowledge. Is that not something that is written in the Word of God? And with all of that, do you know what we read? After the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead, we read, he appeared unto Simon. Is that a wonder? That was a wonder to Simon. That was a wonder to Simon. What took place there, we do not know. That is closed to us. That is private. That was between the Lord Jesus Christ and Simon. But the Lord restored that man, a man who wept much. He wept much over his own sin. Do you know what the Apostle Paul says? Repentance unto salvation. That is the way. That is the way. Are you in that way? We can be forgiven by the Lord. That is what we need. And we cannot forgive ourselves. Not for all the days that we are living here upon this world. But you know that Peter does not weep anymore. He does not weep anymore. Because Peter is in that place where there is no more denying. Peter is in that place of seeing. Peter is in that place where all the tears are being wiped away from his face. Will they be wiped also from our faces? Amen. Oh Lord, it is a few words, but oh, bring it into our heart. We have so much corruption. Every evil that is living within us. Oh, there is only one hope for us, that we be kept by thee and that we be forgiven by thee. Oh, give us a need for it. Give us self-knowledge and give us knowledge of thy dear and only begotten Son, knowledge of free and sovereign grace. Forgive and take away all of our many sins and dismiss us with thy blessing now. Help us in the week to come. Each one has a responsibility in this world. And wilt thou be near to us in it, giving diligence and safety and also thy blessing. Bring us together on Friday evening also for meditation and song, and give that all may be done to the glory and honor of thy name and to the welfare of our souls. For Jesus' sake, amen. 144, all the stanzas. O God, the God that saveth me, remove my guilty stains, and I will sing thy righteousness in grateful, joyous strains. 1 through 6 of 144.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless them.